The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
It's good to be here, and so good to see many of you that I know and have known through the years, and some of you that I used to be your pastor, and it is with great joy that we see what God has done right here at Soma. It's just good. It is good, it is good, it is good. And I'm thankful for John, and he said he's been here 8 years. It seems like a whole lot longer than that, John, as you've been in Jeff City. But it was a great privilege to have him on staff at Concord for those first 3 years. And then I can remember the day that he walked in my office, and he laid out a plan and said, "This is what I feel like God is calling me to do." And we had known all along the need that there was for a church like this that was ministering to people on the Lincoln campus and around the Lincoln campus. And so I'm very thankful for that, thankful for him. And I'm going to be a little bit like Elizabeth Taylor was to her sixth husband. I won't keep you long, okay? I won't keep you long. But I want to share the Word of God this morning that God has laid upon my heart and just talk a little bit about the times that we're in. Now, John told me that if he had a theme, it was going to kind of be like a reset. Well, at the five-year anniversary of this congregation, it is a good time to reset. If not a reset, then at least a revitalization, a rebirth, a rebreath. And I want to talk to you today about the wind of God's Holy Spirit as it begins to move. And so if you would take your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And that's where I want to go today. It is the story of Pentecost. And so I would ask you if you would just stand with me in honor of God's Word. Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. I'm going to read the first 17 verses, okay? So stay with me. And I'm reading out of the King James Version, so if the language seems a little old, you got to understand how old I am, okay? So that'll help. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised about, the multitude came together. They were confounded, because that every man heard every person speak in their own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, 'Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?'" Then he gives this long list: "Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." So get this right here. This was not an unknown tongue they were speaking in. They were known tongues. They were just unknown to the people that were gathered there. So this is not a ecstatic utterance or anything of that nature. I mean, can you imagine? Even on the Lincoln campus, there are people who come from all different backgrounds, all different parts of the world. I'm sure hard telling how many languages are represented. Can you imagine if Brother John were to get up and speak to, and some people say, well, he speaks the different language all the time, but he were speaking in such a way that everybody could understand everything that he said, that would be an awesome thing. Well, this is what's happening at the day of Pentecost. And Peter is going to preach to them. And so he's speaking. Verse 12 says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this?' Others mocking said, 'These men are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, 'You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose." It's too early in the day for them to be drunk. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Father, would you add your blessing to the reading of your word this day? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may be seated and pray for me as I preach during these few moments that we have here today. I'm so thankful for what I have watched God do over the last 5 years, and so blessed by what he's done here at SOMA and in the life of this congregation. But we're living in a world today that is absolutely different than it was 5 years ago. Now, see, sometimes I look back and I think, okay, so I've been at Concord 29 years. The world has changed. The culture has changed. Everything has changed. But I can look back and think about 2001. What happened in the fall of 2001, actually late summer, September 11, 2001, and say our world has changed, the travel world has changed, everything has changed. You can't go anywhere but what you realize. This is the impact of what terrorism on a society does. This is what's happened in 2001. Well, there are many of us preachers that started 2020 and saying we're not going to miss this. We're going to have a 2020 vision. You know what I'm saying? You go to the doctor to get a pair of eyeglasses. He wants you to get to 2020, and we think, well, this is what's going to happen in the year 2020. Little did we know, we didn't know little. And that's kind of what happened. The beginning of this year, early this year, March the 1st, I stood to preach at Concord on a Sunday morning. I did not know, I had no idea, this is going to be the last normal Sunday morning we have for a long time. Because I preached on Sunday morning, March the 1st, and I came back and preached on Sunday night, March the 1st, and I preached about the man that was laid on a cot, and he had four friends, you know the story, that brought him to Jesus. They tore the roof off the place, and they let this man down in front of Jesus, and Jesus lifted him up and looked around at everybody. They were amazed at what Jesus did, because Jesus always does things that are outside the box. And I preached that Sunday night about where our church was. We were kind of stable, but we were kind of stagnant. We were traditional, but in dealing with Sunday school, don't let the kids bother you, because they're not bothering me. They're just kids. And so with Sunday school, we were kind of stable, but we were kind of stagnant. When you get together and you're worshiping God, it's like God's done great things in our lives. Yep, boy, that is great. Hallelujah. A little bit of a clap, but the truth was that we were very, very taken for granted the things that God had given us and blessed us with. And I challenged the folks that night, what would we do? Would we be willing to tear the roof off of this place? Would we be willing to tear the roof off this place and take everything apart? I'm talking about take Sunday school apart, take worship apart, take everything we've done in the past, take it apart if God wanted us to. Well, you know good and well, a bunch of Baptists, they don't take anything apart if they can keep from it. We're going to hold on to everything we've got. We're going to keep our traditions. We're going to do all these things. And that's and then all of a sudden, that week, I load up with Brother John Forsyth, and we go to Romania, and we get there, and while we're in Romania, we hear about the coronavirus that's coming, and people in Romania are very concerned, and they're a little panicky, and then the president of the university that we're speaking at says, you need to get out of here as quickly as we can, as you can. So we did, and we flew back in the United States. By the time we got here, everything was kind of panicky here. We had to go into quarantine for 14 days, and then by the time we got out of quarantine, the whole world had gone into quarantine. And this is kind of what happened. But I've looked back at the last thing I preached to my congregation. What if God? We might not be willing to take the roof off, but what if God wanted to take the roof off? What if he wanted to pull back the ceiling in order that he could do something brand new? And I want you to know that that's exactly what happened at Pentecost. Amen. God did something brand new. Yes, it was a fresh blowing of the wind. And sometimes people say, well, we need to have another Pentecost. No, we just need to appropriate the power of the first Pentecost. We don't need another Pentecost. So I want to talk to you about this thing of the wind blowing. And they needed a wind to blow because if you had gone up to the temple to worship and you were anything other than a Jewish male, you could have not gotten into the temple. I mean, there was a court of the women. The Jewish women could go so far. There was a court of the Gentiles. The Gentile people could go so far. Then there was a place for the priest, and especially the high priest, because he could go into the Holy of Holies, and there he could offer up sacrifices. So if you weren't a priest, and you weren't a male, and you weren't Jewish, then you could not go in to where everything was happening. But I want to tell you that in the space of one day when Christ died on Calvary, the veil was torn from top to bottom. And then a period of time passes. And Jesus, who has been resurrected, goes, ascends to his Father in heaven. And then they gather together and they're praying. The whole group is gathered together praying in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, in one accord, one place, praying to God. And then all of a sudden, the wind of the Spirit moves. And now when this wind moves, it blows everything in disarray. But actually, it's blowing everything into array. It's putting everything in order. No longer are you separated from coming to God. It's happened. Yes. You can get to God. Yes. The veil has been torn. No longer are we in different language groups. The veil, that veil has been torn. No longer are we divided by racial, our ethnic background or where we've come from. That's been torn down. And all of a sudden, we are seeing God move in a marvelous, marvelous way. Mm-hmm. One Sunday back in the spring, we couldn't gather for church. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I could have never envisioned that there would be a time when we couldn't come to church to worship the Lord. But we couldn't gather for church. And during those days, there was more church going on than I think I'd ever known of in my life. I mean, every weekend I was listening to 3 and 4 sermons, 3 and 4 different preachers, and all of that. But we were, on that particular morning, Betty was Zooming her Sunday school class out on the back of the house. And I went down to the picnic table with a cup of coffee, and I was watching a friend preach in Fort Worth, Texas, and a wind was blowing up out of the valley out there where we live. And sometimes you get a wind out of the south. We don't need no south wind today, but you get a wind out of the south, and it gets hot. And then sometimes up on that hill, we get a wind out of the north, and it'll chill you to the bones. And then if you're a fisherman, you know if the wind is in the east, they bite the least. If it is in the west, they bite the best. All the wind is blowing around, but there was no wind like the wind of Pentecost. And there are two things that it did, and these are two things that we need. The first thing it did was that wind was a flattening wind. It blew down all different walls. It blew down all different traditions. It took away so many things that stood as barriers for people coming to know Jesus Christ. And that wind blew things away. Judaism, that had become nothing more than religious tradition, all of that was blown away. So it was a wind that flattened things. Just 2 weeks ago in Iowa, there was this thing called, I think it's a derecho. And that was called a derecho. And it blew down somewhere around 15 million acres of corn. Not only did it blow it down, it uprooted it. It just laid everything flat for a long time. And it was a major event. Now, with everything going on with COVID and all of that stuff, there are major events everywhere. And this kind of flew under the radar screen. But for the people that lived through it, it was definitely not under the radar screen. So it flattened things. Last May, a year ago, just over the hump, just over the hill, a tornado comes through Jefferson City, the city that never has a tornado, had one. And it came blowing through, and it took roofs off houses. It took shingles off houses. It blew out windows. It laid down houses. It did all of that when it came blowing through. What I'm saying is that in our world today, I believe that what's going on with our culture, what's going on with COVID, all of these things that we say, well, these are bad, these are bad, these are bad, these are bad. My word to you today is it's too soon to tell. Who knows what God is going to flatten with this cultural change and the wind that is blowing in our society today to where barriers are going to be torn down, broken down, and God is going to do something great. If he would just create a fresh hunger in the heart of his own people, yes, to seek after him. Because I am concerned sometimes, folks, that we've just grown used to it. We're used to church. We're used to being able to go wherever we want to go to worship. We're used to the people of God. We're used to the Word of God. I mean, a preacher can stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people are not impressed by our freedom. They're not amazed by the Word of God. They like, I've heard this all before. In fact, I just preached an hour or so ago at Concord out of Mark chapter 6, where the Bible says that Jesus marveled at their unbelief. I wonder if he looks at the American population today and marvels at our unbelief. I mean, he didn't marvel at the laws of space. He didn't marvel at time. He didn't marvel at chemical formulas. I did. When I went to college, I marveled at it. I took chemistry 3 times. And so he doesn't marvel at the laws of physics. He doesn't marvel at gravity or any of those things. The very truth is that he marveled at their unbelief. And if he looked at us today, I think he'd say there needs to be a fresh wind blow across the United States that ultimately would impact the whole world. A fresh wind, the wind of God. That is a flattening wind. But not only was it a flattening wind, it was a freshening wind. When everything was blown down, all of a sudden, God, by the movement of his Holy Spirit, did something fantastic, and the power of God rested upon all of them. Now, the Bible tells us over in Ezekiel chapter 37 that God said to the prophet Ezekiel, he said, I want you to go out and prophesy over this valley of bones that were very dry. Well, that's kind of, John, I'm sure you felt like it at times. You're standing up to preach and you're prophesying over a valley of dried bones. But these bones were scattered everywhere. You know Ezekiel chapter 37. Read it. They were scattered everywhere, and with all of that, bone was scattered over here, and there was no flesh on it. There was no sinew on it. There certainly was no breath in it. And so when Ezekiel began to prophesy, I think he thought, this is the deadest congregation I've ever been around. And he began to preach. And as he began to prophesy, the Bible says bone comes together with bone. You know the old song, the leg bone's connected to the hip bone. The hip bone's connected to the backbone. All these bones began to come together. Some order came there. And then as he prophesied a little bit longer, then sinew and skin began to cover. And what you have there is you got bones together and sinew and skin. So what you've got is a bunch of dead bodies laying there in a valley. But then he said, I want you to prophesy some more. And he began to prophesy. And what happened? The wind of God blew through. The breath of God filled everyone, and the hearts began to beat, the lungs began to pump, and they began to live. When God did this, and I'm saying to you, as you look at where you've been over 5 years, and you're looking at where you're going in the future, there's one thing that you can't do without, and that is the breath, the wind of Almighty God that breathes life into a congregation and breathes life into you. So, we can just say today that the wind of God, when the wind blows, it is a flattening wind. God blows away everything that doesn't need to be there. He removes all the chaff from the wheat. But it's also a freshening wind. When God begins to blow on us and move in our hearts, then he sends the breath of revival into us, and we are never the same again. And the Bible tells us even further in Acts chapter 3, it tells us that there would come times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Do you think we need times of refreshing today? You say, sitting out here in the sun, you better believe it. We need times of refreshing. But I'm talking about times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And he says if we will repent and we will put ourselves on the right track and we will avail ourselves of what God is willing to do in our lives, he will send these times of refreshing. My dad, I had a lot of different businesses that he did. He was a hardworking fella. He had a farm, and he farmed. And he had a concrete company, and he hauled concrete and did that. And then he was a bivocational pastor, really trivocational pastor. But I've known of Dad when it would be a very, very hot day, and where the house we lived there in Kentucky growing up was kind of up on a hill too. And he would go out on the front porch and sit in his chair and ask Mom to bring him a Pepsi, which she always did. That generation's pretty well passed away, I guess. But he would say, Mommy, bring me a Pepsi. And she'd bring him a Pepsi, and he'd sit out there on the front porch and look out, and there would be inevitable if there was a breeze to be caught anywhere, you would catch it on the front porch at Mom and Dad's house. And he would say, And I remember him saying this, and I'd love to sit out there with him today and drink Pepsi-Cola. He would say, that's good air. That's good air. Well, when God breathes, it's good air. Amen. When the wind of the Spirit blows, it's good air. And what do we need in our world today to solve all these problems? It's good air. That's what we need. It's the breath of God. It doesn't have to be another Pentecost. But just when God blows, He tears down a whole bunch of stuff when the wind really blows. And all these things we thought we've had to have, it takes us back to the heart of worship. All we need is it's all about Jesus. It is all about Him. When the wind blows, it certainly flattens a lot of stuff. But when the wind blows, it freshens a lot of stuff. And that's what we need in our day, a fresh breath from God. Amen. Father, I pray for Soma, and I pray for Brother John. And I pray, Father, for the work that You have for them, Lord, for all of us, for all of our churches. The wind that flattens some things freshens other things, Lord. And if You have to blow away everything we've trusted in through the years, if it comes through the economy or through a coronavirus or, Lord, in the controversy in our country that's here all the time, but especially always shows up in an election year. And Father, while we're dealing with all of this stuff, if You have to flatten everything we've trusted in order that You would freshen our trust in You, then Lord, we pray that You would bring it on and move in our hearts. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.